Blog Talk Radio.
our faith before you, God, asking you to lead and guide us. But, God, no matter what they say, God, we trust you. No matter what they diagnose, God, we trust you. No matter what they try to get you to believe, God, we trust you. We ask you, oh, Lord, what you say. No matter what's going on, we got to still be about my Father's business. Still be about my Father's business. I'm going to say it again. Still be about my Father's business. And with that being said, we say amen. So, okay, thank you, Lawrence. How are you doing? Margo, Sylvia, Chris, thank you all. Ms. Goss, thank you all. Thank you all for taking this time out during this time. Chandra, thank you for just willing to and being able to work with us on tonight, listening with us on tonight. Like I said, we're going to talk about what spirit do you identify with, Esther or Jezebel? Because one thing I do know is I'm going to do my Father's business, regardless what they say. So, on Monday, myself and Apostle-elect Cecilia, we were talking about Jezebel and Esther, how there are two spirits that operate in the Word of God. What I mean by spirit, there are two women that the Bible tells us about. And Esther had a humble spirit. Esther was teachable. Esther was about doing what was good for the people. Esther was about, no matter what, if it calls for my life, that when I go before my husband, the king, if it calls me to perish, I will perish, even if it's because I'm doing what I need to do to make sure my people are saved. And Esther loved God. Did y'all hear that? Esther loved God. So Esther was raised a certain way because Esther come from a certain type of people, the Jews. Esther was from the people that God has chosen to be his people, and she walked in her upbringing. Okay? Now you have a woman, Jezebel. Growing up, we didn't too much hear people call us, oh, you are Esther. We didn't hear that. Oh, you acting like an Esther. You carrying yourself like an Esther. We didn't hear that. But we heard growing up, oh, you a Jezebel, looking like a Jezebel, dressing like a Jezebel, acting like a Jezebel. We heard that. See, a lot of times people thought Jezebel meant makeup, like I told you last Monday, eyelashes, lipstick, and, you know, just, that's called a Soul Train outfits. They think that's Jezebel, but Jezebel was a rude, trifling, evil woman. She didn't care about God, nor his people, nor his servants, his men and women of God. She didn't care about that. She did not care about threatening God people. She didn't care about killing God's people. She didn't care about tearing down nothing that God built. Like Minister Margot just said, Esther sacrificed. Jezebel wasn't sacrificing anything but the lives of other people. Jezebel worked under witchcraft. She had a controlling spirit. She all had to always be right. It was her way or no way or the highway. That's Jezebel. The Word of God says, you know, that you can get more out of a person, or you can get more with milk and honey. You can get more being sweet with people. You could get people to like you, care about you, provide for you, and you know that word, hang around you, want to hear what you got to say. But Jezebel, people will be fearful. It's not they around you or love you because of love. They're around you because they want to make sure they're on your side, because they don't want to challenge you or get hurt or whatever. But I don't want to operate under a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel will go as far as to play the victim. Oh, she will play the victim to get the sympathy to get what she needs. You know how when we were younger, we would hear older women say, I'm going to get that, come hook or crook. That's a Jezebel spirit, because you don't care what you have to steal, who you have to steal from, or how they're going to end up after you do what you have to do. That's a Jezebel spirit. She didn't care about your outcome. Like you had kids. She didn't care if your kids ate or had a warm coat to put on or shoes to put on their feet and it's cold outside or raining or whatever, because it was all about her need. You know how we used to say, myself included, we used to say, me, myself, and I. You know, we put ourselves in a three-part series of stuff. Me, myself, and I. Okay, that's Jezebel. But Esther said, my uncle Mordecai took me in when I had no mother and father, and he raised me. Not only did he raise me, he put me in a position that favor followed her, and people loved her, and people was embraced by her spirit, not just her beauty, but because of the way she carried herself. Every place she went, people loved her, adored her, and they didn't mind being around her. Esther had the spirit of, I don't compete with you. Because whether she realized it or put it out there, she did not see herself as high above all others. All she wanted to do was make sure she followed instructions. See, Jezebel ain't following no instructions. She want to be the instructor. And she don't want you to question. She wants you to just do what she say do, when she say do it. So if she say run, if you kid, she wanted to be like Bewitched, twitch her nose, and you done went done and back. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to pause right now and ask Apostle Elect Cecilia if she has any input on the subject on tonight. Apostle, do you have anything you would like to share with us on tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I think one of the key things we have to realize is that if we would, you know, be honest with ourselves, as you were saying, we have the ability to be both people that are evil and that are good. And that is why we're to be Christ-like, and why we have the opportunity to study God's word, to seek him, to allow the word of God to transform us into being Christ-like. Many times people may say, oh, well, I'm not this, I'm not that. But the reality of it is that we all need Jesus. We all need Christ to help us. And if we allow him to help us, he will perfect us. And once he's perfected us in one area, he'll perfect us in another area, and another area, and another area. And we have to be honest enough to say, God, I need your perfecting. Too many people are too prideful, and they try to act like they don't need God. Well, I need God. If God doesn't help me, I'm going to be lost. I thank God for Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, as you were saying, those Jezebel-like qualities or those demonic-type manifestations and those narcissistic ways that we see from the various people in government, would take us over. I mean, the word of God talks about how the enemy creeps in. He can only creep in if we're not covered. And that's the one thing I love about God, is that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for every one of us. And all we have to do is submit to that intercession. And although people don't like to admit it, we can overrule the dwelling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that wants to lead and guide us in those things that God has left him here. I mean, when Jesus said, I don't want to leave them comfortless. I mean, when he went to the Father and asked for the Holy Spirit to be here with us, that lets us know that we can't do it on our own. Even Jesus knew, okay, I'm going to go and intercede for them sitting on the right hand of the Father, but yet I need to leave them someone here, because he is a person. I need to leave the Holy Spirit here to be with them, because otherwise we talk about the evil and the things that Jezebel did. Like it or not, that stuff is easy. It's a song that says, I'm easy to love. Love is easy, but guess what? Society does not teach us to do what's easy. When the song says it's easy to love, that's true. It is easy to love, but guess what? In order to be with the in group, sometimes people run from love because it's more important to them to be people pleasers. So you'll see people, whether it's in videos or whatever, I've never seen in my lifetime, even when I was growing up, so many people that want to be a video victim. It is not like I want to be the missionary of the church anymore. I want to be the evangelist of the church anymore. I mean, when you see the pictures of the people of God that say they're the people of God, many of them, we're showing our boobies, we're showing our tight jeans, we're showing everything that's worldly. It's like it's not popular to have modest attire, like the Word of God tells us. So like you said, they may say, oh, you know, you're being Jezebel because you're wearing all this makeup, you're being this, but it's not even popular for somebody to call you Esther. When it used to be, if somebody called you goody two-shoes, if somebody called you this or that, it was a compliment. Excuse me. Now it's more of a compliment if people tell you you look like, and I'm not saying this to bash them, some video vixen or some rapper that's half-dressed or some rapper that's talking about how well they do this or do that. And I see so many young girls with their tongues hanging out and twerking and jerking and doing all of that. Well, when we were growing up, we were trying to show them how well we could African dance, how well we could do dance, how well we could do all of these types of dances to show off our talent, not off our butt. So now it's wear as less as you can wear without going to jail. So it's popular to be half dressed. I love what our mama used to tell us. Why would a guy buy you this or buy you that? You don't leave any imagination. He can see everything but your ovaries. Now that is not Esther. When they talk about Esther in the Bible, she left something for the king to desire. What do men have to desire or imagine about us nowadays? Not much, because we're showing everything.
That's all I have for right now. That's true, because what men have to desire about us now, and their mindset is, they could desire us being gone. Get away from me. I'm tired of you, had you, done that, been that, all that. Like Minister Margo had said, Jezebel was a manipulator. Margo also says, we set our bar too low. Evangelist Sylvia says, they don't leave nothing to the imagination. They don't, because Stan was showing me something on the video, and this girl, you could see she had on these leggings, and the way they leg and sit her, you can see everything about her, you know. And my thing is, like I had said Monday, if I had an 11 and 12-year-old daughter, they would be so mad at me. They would be hollering. You know how we say, I can't wait to get grown. They would be trying to do whatever they could do to get away from me, because you wouldn't have no nails and 26-inch hair down your back or 32 inches, whatever it is, contacting. You definitely wouldn't have them blinkers on your eyes. No, you are 11. You're going to tell me how to spell certain words. You're going to show me how to do certain mouth problems, and you're going to show me that you have a mind, not just what you're sitting on. You'll be, yeah, that one behind. Because what the world is showing us is that if you're not a video vixen, as Apostle just said, if you're not shaking it till it break, if you're not twerking it to show you that it worked, if you're not doing all of this and that, that means you have no talent. And then I remember growing up with me and my sister, Apostle, I like hammers and screwdrivers and stuff like that. And only because I always said girls can use tools too. I didn't want to wait for to have a guy to do for me, because our dad taught us, don't wait for no man to fix your flat. Because once he fix your flat, he's going to want to air another tire up. My dad taught us, learn how to change your own oil and filter and spark plugs, because if you waiting on the man to do it, he's going to want to tune something else up. So our dad taught us how to do that. Now, our mom taught us how to cook and how to wash and how to clean a house, so that if we did get old enough to have somebody else do it, we'll know what a real cleaning looks like and smell like. So we was balanced growing up, so we was able to learn how to do something. And I said, I'll have to say this. The average young lady or young man, we called it a joke a couple of years ago. We put a rotary phone in there in front of them and told them to make a phone call. And it was really, like they say, foreign language. They was like, what's that? They thought it was something new. They didn't understand what a rotary phone was. Oh, that was something else. Hey, Bonnie, thanks for checking in. When you look back and see, I remember when we were younger and our mom told us, I remember one time saying to my mom, Mom, you're not my friend. She said, you're right. I'm not. I'm not your friend. I'm your mother. We will not hang out. You will not sit down and have a conversation with me, nor would you sit down and have a conversation with me and my friends or other adults. You are a child. You stay in a child's place. And I thought that was the hardest thing my mom could have said to me. But what it was, my mom had a spirit of Esther. She was able to teach us how to be in the place that we were. We were still drinking milk. We couldn't sit at the table where they was serving meat, because it was certain conversations adults had we couldn't understand. Yes, Sylvia, there's a line. We couldn't cross that line, you know. And I catch myself acting like my mom a whole lot. And I have friends and stuff. They look at me when I say to them, they kids, I say, you know, I don't mean no harm, but I don't talk like that in front of kids. I don't have conversations like that in front of kids. Because, see, not only am I respecting them as a child, I'm respecting the innocence they have as a child, because I was taught like that. Don't open a door that you don't want to leave open. You know how you put your kids in your business and sometimes they'll embarrass you. You put your kids in your business and sometimes they'll tell something about you you didn't want nobody to know. Mm-hmm. And then you get mad at them, talking, she always in my business, she always talks too much. No, you open that door. Put that line right there. Don't let them cross that line. Don't let them step over that line. Don't even let them stand too close to the line. Because children don't know how to keep a border. My dad used to tell us when we were young, I said to my dad one time, I said, Daddy, why you don't want to play with me? He said, baby, you're like a puppy. You can't keep playing with puppies, because when you get tired of them, you want them to put them down. They keep coming over there trying to lick you in the face. He said, I don't play with puppies. I train them. So in my training season, I learned. Thank you, Missionary Linda Handy, for joining in. I'm just at a place where I said, God, growing up, we didn't realize how we was operating in a Jezebel spirit because as I was growing up, they say you real flip at the lip, you know. Don't let your lips get you in something you can't get out of. I thank God for the education that I had growing up. But see, right now, everybody's teaching everybody all is good. No, all ain't good. All ain't good. We left out some ethics. We left out some pacifications, if I can use that word, my Jesse Jackson attitude. I'm going to make up a word. We left out some things that we should be teaching our children because we want to be friends with them. It's certain things you don't want to know, and it's certain things you don't need to know. And it's certain things that you have to, as a parent, teach a child. You know, the word of God said, let the older women teach the young. And right now, the reason there's no respect in the land, because the older women have not taught the children or shown the children that there is a level of respect that you're going to give me. Because there's certain things I'm not going to do, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to allow you to see, I'm not going to allow you to witness, I'm not going to allow you to be a part of, and I'm not going to allow you to sit down and see me be a part of doing certain. It's certain things you don't do in front of children because, see, children are like a video recorder. They do what they see, and they say what they heard. And if you didn't filter yourself, they're not going to filter you. For example, I have a son, my youngest son. His name is, don't worry about his name, but my youngest son, I taught him growing up. He said to me, Mom, you're not my friend. I grabbed him in his collar. I mean, I snatched him. I said, you're right. I'm not. I'll never be your friend. Now, if you act right, I'll be friendly to you, but I'll never be a friend with you because I don't want you to ever think you're on my level. I don't care if I'm old, gray-headed, in a wheelchair, walker, or cane, getting around. You will never be my friend. You will always be my son. And any time I say something to you, I need to hear two things from you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Make it three. Okay, ma'am. I've done it. I'm just being honest because I want my son to know the difference between a lady and a lay. Y'all can get real sanctified with me or on me if you want to. But we're not teaching our boys that there's two type of spirits out here. I told my son, don't bring home no Jezebel. He knew what that meant from a long time ago because I'm going to treat her like a Jezebel because I'm going to tell you what I see and I'm going to tell her what I recognize. Sometimes they don't know who they are because a cousin said to me today, we haven't had great examples in our children's lives. Yeah, I'm going to pause right there for a moment. We haven't had great examples. What kind of men are you having around your children? Because, see, in case I just made you think, I want to also let you think about this. Women are not the only one with Jezebel spirits. Men have them, too, controlling. They bring division. They are manipulators. They're perpetrators. Women ain't just playing their games. Men are too. But men have the spirit of, you want to say Esther or you want to say Daniel or whoever else you want to go. Men have a spirit of respecting a woman. Now, a lot of times our kids don't want to see or hear. Thank you, Apostle Dana, for joining in. Our kids don't want to see or hear what we're saying. But you know what they do? They watch. What is the life you live in? Does your life represent Esther or does your life represent Jezebel? Because, see, I don't want every time my son look up, he had an uncle. I wouldn't teach you. That's not teaching your son how to respect women. I don't want my daughter to look up every time and she had an uncle because that's not teaching her what a true father is. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know what lifestyle you lived or had to live, but all I'm saying that once you desire to get with God, God would change some things in your life. If you realize, yes, I love the Lord with all my heart. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be used by the Lord. Yes, I read his word. Yes, I do all this. But then I still see some of those things that you just mentioned, I do too. Don't take it from me. Go to God. I can't change you. I have no heaven or hell to put you in, but I can help tell you about some things I went through in life, I've done in life, and how I got on my knees and my face, and I got before God and said, God, change my life. You know when you like some things. You know when some things ain't right. It's up to you to get before God, and you call it out. Write the vision. Make it plain. Talk to God. Say, God, if you don't know what it is, you don't identify, ask God what it is. Read his word. You're going to learn if you're operating in Jezebel or if you're operating in Esther. I want to have favor on me with God like Mary had it. She become blessed among women because God sent this angel to let her know what was going to happen to her. She was going to bring forth a Lord, a King, a Savior. I want to have favor like that. Like I say, you can get some information in your life and you say, okay, the doctor said this. The doctor said that. But I want to know, God, what you say. God could change anything around. Prognosis, diagnosis, habits. A mindset, situations, whatever you're going through, God can change it. Whether it's heartbreak, whether it's devastation, God can change it. You know, we always say, well, I don't know how to talk to God. You talk to God like you're talking to me. I'm looking in the camera. If it wasn't for your comments, I wouldn't even know you was there. But yet and still, I'm about to my father's business. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, be about your father's business. If you find yourself operating in a Jezebel spirit where she used the spirit of seduction, she used the spirit of division, she tried to use witchcraft, she tried to use mind controlling situations, when you're operating in a spirit of Jezebel, give that to God. Nobody can change that but God, because God can take evil and make it love. If you're operating in the spirit of Esther, give that to God and say, God, take me to the next level of Esther. Teach me how to be that lender and not that borrower. Teach me how to love someone so much I will put my life on the line because you told me to love my brother as I love myself. God, teach me how to want to live this life of humbleness, to want to live this life of love, to want to live this life to say, God, I know you can. And even if you don't, God, I know you can. As Apostle Elect had said to me, like the three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they said, God, I know you can, but if you don't, I know you can. You know, she broke it down a little better to me, but I just want you all to know, don't never settle for a Jezebel spirit, especially when you know the end result. The end result was when the prophet walked past and she was sitting in the window, he told the eunuchs to throw her down. Do you? I'm sorry, I have to laugh. Do you know you could be that evil that somebody would say, throw her down? When they threw her down, the blood sprinkled on the walls, and the hungry dogs waited for her to fall, and when she did, they licked her blood. Nothing was left of her. Not only was that, I want you to, y'all, to think about it. Think about it. Think about this. You be driving down the street sometime, and you see stuff in the street, and you see some red hat, black hat, blonde hat. You say, ooh, somebody got their wig snatched off, a weave snatched out their head. It's laying in the street. And you kind of giggle and be like, try to picture, well, I wonder how they do that. But just imagine when a Jezebel was threw down out the window that nothing was left to ever show that she existed, that she landed in that spot. When the hungry dogs licked her blood up and ate everything that was there, it didn't even say her clothes. No, nothing was left. It was nothing to clean up. Don't tell me how God wouldn't wipe out an evil spirit. I don't care how long it's been operating. I don't care how long it's been there. But give it to God and watch what God do. Lasagna, thank you so much for joining in. Apostle, you have anything else you would like to share with us, please?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something that you had mentioned earlier. And before I really get into it, I'm going to go around the road to get there. Do you all find it strange that the president, the current president, not the one elect that's coming into office, when he looked to gain the minority vote, he didn't get a scholarly doctor. He did not get a psalmist. He did not get an organist. He didn't get a symphony conductor. He didn't get someone of color that was a judge. He didn't get someone of color that was a doctor or a surgeon, people that are great role models. But he got Lil Wayne. He got 50 Cent. He got Ice Cube.
Yes.
That should tell you about the state of the mindset in America. Like it or not, when people look at America, they look at who we elect to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they laugh about America, we need to go to God and say, God, what's going on? Why did he not go and get, you know, the three doctors that everybody's been bragging on? You know, it's three doctors out there that are doing so much in the community. I mean, they've been on the Steve Harvey Show. They've been on all of these things. And why is it that when you look at the people that he's even put into office, blatantly racist, blatantly don't care about the poor, but yet we have a people that would vote for him again? And
yeah,
some of you on the air have, so it doesn't matter if you get mad at me, because all I'm going to say is pray for me and take it to God. And the reason that I bring that up is because the popularity of Esther versus the popularity of Jezebel is backwards. People will do stuff and say stuff and say, I'm just saying. It used to be you didn't say things that would purposefully hurt people. You didn't do things that would purposefully hurt people. I had a so-called, and that's what she is to me, a so-called wannabe family member that was very disrespectful to me. And then, you know, I just blocked her because I said, you know, I'm just going to have to block this because I can't have people that are taking negative stuff and spreading that instead of that which is of God. And it really amazed me about how many people actually got upset, and it let me know that there are some people that are looking for Esther. There are some people that are willing to protect you. This young man, his name is Minister Woods. I did not even know he really knew me, but someone had said some stuff about me, and he instantly went in on them and said, why would you say that about her? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? This woman, all the time that I've been knowing her, and it just shocked me that someone would protect my character like that versus the ones who were trying to speak evil. But it blessed me because let me tell you something. When it talks about people that have done stuff to break the commandments, I've done them. I've done them, and yet God has still loved me. I've been that person that's been a Jezebel, the manipulator. I've been that person that's practiced whoredom. I've been that person that's done all of those things, but God forgave me. Not only did He forgive me, He's perfecting me. And not only is He perfecting me, I'm allowing it. And so when I say things like I accept what God allows, it took me a while to get here, but for years and years and years, my prayer was, be it unto me according to your word. Not my will, but your will be done. And I kept praying it, and I still prayed it, and I kept praying it until it got to a point that I saw that's really what I want. It's not that I'm perfect because I'm not anywhere near it, but I'm yet yielding to the perfecting of God. And when you're yielding to the perfecting of God, you will do those things that will allow people to know God is a strong deliverer. God is merciful. God is gracious. And He will show you grace even when you just did that thing to manipulate someone, even when you did that thing to be evil because you repented. There is so much power in repentance. And I didn't say apologize and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. No, repenting, going to God and saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. God, I don't want to even have the appetite to do this anymore. God, I don't even want to respond inappropriately anymore. God, I want to be more like Jesus. God, I want to obey your word. And when you get that in your heart that you want to do right, you will notice all of a sudden you don't want to do that anymore, and God has taken that appetite away from you, and not only has it been taken away because you've asked Him to help you with it, but now you're able to minister to someone else and let them know. Sometimes you could tell the date and time that it stopped, and other times you'll just know that, oh, wow, I don't like that anymore. Oh, wow, exactly. I don't do this anymore. And you can give God all the glory for it. So it's not that you have to have a life that's perfect, but you do have to have a life that's willing to be perfected. And that's where I'm at. I'm like, God, work on me, because this sister right here, Cecilia, I need your help, because God has blessed me so that it used to be, if you send me something crazy in a text, if you called me on the phone and you said some crazy stuff, if you accused me of something that I did not do, or even that you misread me, I would go there with you. So I went from being timid to just snapping off on people. And now God is teaching me the balance that some things don't deserve a response. And Amen. All you need to do is you don't respond to the person, but you take it to God. And it's not you take it to God telling Him what that person did wrong, but I find myself going to God saying, God, help me to fix this. If you're working on her or him, do what you will. But God, show me. Show me where I could have done better or done something differently. Show me where it might have been manipulation. Show me where it might have been evil. Show me where I was wrong, and show me in your word that I need to pray and that I need to confess and that I need to proclaim until I see the manifestation of transformation, not change, because people can change here and there. But when God transforms you, my, the transformation of God, hallelujah. Minister Renee, I'm going to stop right there. My God.
Amen. I think about how Apostle just said the way we used to be. So when we're ministering to you and we're talking to you, we're not telling you about things we heard. We're telling you about things we've lived. We're telling you about things that God has done for us. And the old saints used to say, if God can save me, God will save anybody. Because, see, you all don't understand. Those that know me, know me. Those of you all that don't, thank God you don't. Thank God you know me now. Because, see, it was a time. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for change and salvation. Because it was a time. But, ooh, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Because I'm not bragging. I'm explaining the greatness and goodness and mercy of God. God can change. That's why when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Because it was a time in life where I was always me, myself, and I. This benefit me? Well, I got to go over here and do this and do that because come hook or crook, this fit to be done. I can't see myself not having that. That's the attitude I had. See, you all have to understand, as you get older, you should do better because you should have learned something. Because if you're doing the same thing now, when you was in your 20s and you got in your 30s, you still doing it. Then you got in your 40s, you still doing it. You got in your 50s and you think you can still do it. And you in your 60s and you saying, I'm going to still try to get that. Baby, look, that's like a 50-year-old woman, 40, 50, 60-year-old woman, saying a 20, 30-year-old woman, they jealous of them. What's she jealous of? What? You have to understand that at every age, you get a chance to change the spirit you're operating in. And I thank God so much for everything he has done for me. He has done for my sister as well as my prayer partner. Me and Apostle Elect Cecilia, we're blood sisters. Plus, we're best friends. Growing up, my parents had us so close together that people thought we were twins. And we would go around saying we were twins. Apostle Elect is on his line, and she would tell you, it was a time if you looked at my sister or said something to her the wrong way, or I assume you did, you was finna get that halo. And I ain't talking about the good halo. You was finna get that halo because I was coming at you, busting your head. But God changed me. I thank God for the prayers of my mother. I thank God for the prayers of my auntie. I thank God for even going, when we went to church, they didn't ask you to come to the altar. They made you get on the altar. I thank God because they made me even have a desire to want to be saved. When we were younger, they would tell you to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You weren't playing with it. You would say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus so much on the altar that something changed in you. You would say it so much that your spirit would surrender, and you would know when you left church, I ain't like that. You know, no matter how you still operate in the spirit of Jezebel, because there's a lot under the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel works with a legion of demons. She works with the legion of looking for power. So with that being said, you have a lot in you that you got to stay before God and tell God to clean up out of you. So as God is cleaning you, you are allowing God to clean you. Therefore, every day you're getting changed. I thank God for Esther, teachable, humble, lovable, adorable. And she had a quiet spirit that was able to be able to reach who and what she needed to reach because she allowed God to operate in her. She allowed God to put her in a place that she would have favor. The world say favor ain't fair, but I say favor is fair. Yes, we know God reigned on the just as well as the unjust, but I said favor. I didn't say just. Favor is fair, and I thank God for my favor throughout my life, because if the enemy thought he could have killed me a long time ago, he would have. But I thank God for my favor. I thank God for every day of my life. So for the rest of my life, all I'm able to say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just got to say, thank you, Lord. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. All I can say is thank you, God. Thank you all for joining us on tonight. I'm going to give you our last comments. I hope and pray it was something me and Apostle Elect said something tonight to bless you all, that no matter what they say, no matter what you heard, be about God's business. Be about getting before God, asking him to change your life, change your spirit, change your ways, because when it's all said and done, God's going to ask you that you do what I told you to do. So don't worry about dotting every I, dotting every T. Worry about how you're going to go to God and say, God, I don't want to be Jezebel anymore. Set me free, O Lord. My heart belongs to you, and I desire to be saved, and I desire to be used by you. God, I need the spirit of Esther. I need the favor of Esther. God, I need a change. So change your name and your spirit on today to be Esther. All right, now, this is Friday, the third Friday of the month. This is my service time, and I thank God and Apostle Elect. Apostle Elect, thank you so much for co-hosting with me on tonight. Next Friday, we will be enjoy the ministry of Prophet Antoine Thomas. Please join in. Please pay attention to my Facebook postings for the prophet and all the other ministries that I tell you about through Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We're here also on Monday nights from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Monday coming up is the fourth Monday. I will be back. This is my Monday to minister, and I'm going to pray and ask God what he would have me to say to the body of Christ. Gloria, thank you for joining in. You too, Terry, thank you for joining in. On Sunday mornings, we have Apostle Elect, Cecilia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser, at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Iron Sharpening Iron, Smile 3E, Let's Talk. We want you to know that every minister that's pastor, prophet, apostle, Dr. Wright, everyone that's attached to this line, Minister Lawrence Seabury, he's our fifth Monday minister for youth service. Please support our service. Join our service, because we're going to tell you what the Word of God says, and we're going to also let you know God is able, God is real, because it's not things we heard and read, it's things we lived. We're overcomers. Thank God for that. We want you to also celebrate the other ministries, support the other ministries I'm going to tell you about. Missionary Linda Handy has a prayer line on Fridays at 6 p.m., and on Sundays at 1 p.m., her phone number is 605-313-4818. 605-313-4818. Her passcode is 647-147. Passcode 647-147. Also, support Lasagna. Michelle Allen, that's Evangelist Lasagna, Michelle Allen. She has a ministry. She's on Facebook. please send her a friend request. You can follow her ministry that she has. Please celebrate and support Pastor Troy Thomas. He's on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. He has a Facebook page, Servant Troy Thomas. You can follow him through Facebook. Dr. Serena Wright, she's written a book called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. Her email address is givetoafrica@yahoo.com. That's G-I-V-E, the number 2, A-F-R-I-C-I-A, @yahoo.com. You could also reach her by Facebook under Dr. Serena Wright. And just know that God loves you, that we love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. And we will see you here Monday. Well, before Monday, we will tune in on Sunday morning. Follow my Facebook posting. This Sunday, Apostle Lex has an awesome message. Apostle Lex Cecilia Kaiser. She's on Facebook under Yes Lord Cecilia. And she has an awesome message. So please tune in at 9:30 a.m. And we'll be back here next Monday. Apostle, would you please pray us out on tonight?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we thank you for teaching us to repent for sins of commission and omission. Father, we submit every motive, every agenda, every desire that we have unto you, God. We ask you, God, to cause our will to line up with your will. Cause our ways to be led by your ways. Cause the things that we think to line up with having the mind of Christ. God, thank you for showing us how powerful we are in and through you. Thank you, God, that every fiber of our total being submits to your will, your way, and your word. Have your way in our lives. Help us to seek you early and to seek you while you can be found. God, give us the eternal seek for you, that we will ask and we will seek, and we know that when you knock at the doors of our hearts and our minds, that we will answer, for no other voice shall we follow, for we know your voice, and we yield to your voice, and we submit to your voice, God. Thank you for having us to seek you, to pray to you, God, to come before you saying, not my way, but your way, God. Be it unto me according to your word, not my will, but your will be done. God, I thank you for no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us, thou shalt condemn. God, thank you for teaching us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the ministry of your word, for your glory, God. Everything that we do, let it be for your glory, God.
Glory,
thank
God.
You for your grace and your mercy. For we heal throughout the land. We here make us whole, God, throughout the land. For we are your people, and we have turned from our wicked ways. We're humbling ourselves before you, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you all. Good night.